This is the Pearson Test of English General, Level 4. This test takes 2 hours and 30 minutes. Section 1. You will have 10 seconds to read each question and the corresponding options. Then, listen to the recording. After the recording, you will have 10 seconds to choose the correct option. Put a cross in the box next to the correct answer, as in the example. Example. Listen to the man speaking. What is this an extract from?
Be one of the few, the proud, the Marines.
The correct answer is B. Number 1. Listen to the man speaking. What is he describing?
An hour's nap in the afternoon can boost a person's brain power and improve their memory, according to a study showing that short periods of sleep during the day can make it easier to function mentally.
Number 2. Listen to the newsreader. What is the speaker giving?
GV last week announced work placements for 3,000 youngsters. It has calculated an annual net profit of more than £1,300 per apprentice when compared to non-apprentice recruitment for the same positions. In addition, it has found that its apprentices generate a rate of productivity that is 7.5% higher than non-apprentices.
Number 3. Listen to the woman speaking. What is she doing?
Is emotional intelligence, with its fuzzy concepts and hard-to-measure outcomes, something that can be taught? Plenty of business schools claim they are already doing this through modules on ethics and corporate social responsibility, but I need to emphasize it is not a question of knowledge, but of consistently practicing new habits until your neural pathways change.
Number 4. Listen to the man speaking. What abilities made Napoleon a great leader, according to the speaker?
Napoleon would deal with 3 or 4 possibilities at the same time and endeavor to conjure up every eventuality, preferably the worst. This foresight generally enabled him to be ready for any setback. Perhaps the most astonishing characteristic of his intellect was the combination of idealism and realism, which enabled him to face the most exalted visions at the same time as the most insignificant realities.
Number 5. Listen to the woman speaking. What is she implying?
We have made contact with industry representatives to gauge the issues affecting the different elements of the fashion industry and to ascertain what the sector wants from government.
Number 6. Listen to the woman speaking. Why does she use the expression flirt with?
Our new collection is called Patterns and Prints. This is a fusion of Western and ethnic fabrics to create shirts that are accessible and stylish. Our past collections have focused more on Western fabrics, but we decided to flirt with African fabrics in creating this collection, so it has the Western simplicity with an ethnic fringe.
Number 7. Listen to the man speaking. What is his opinion?
Business schools have traditionally concentrated on the heroic model of leadership, using case studies featuring high-profile individualist leaders. We need to have a whole new debate about leadership. I hope business schools will start to open themselves up more to new approaches.
Number 8. Listen to the conversation. What does the man think about leadership skills?
So, a new head teacher. Good appointment, then. You must be pleased.
Hope so. Though she's pretty young.
They've either got it or they haven't.
Number 9. Listen to the woman speaking. What is she doing?
Feed your brain with different experiences. Go on a journey you wouldn't usually make. Read an article from a different subject discipline or a magazine you wouldn't usually read. Undertake an activity that you feel isn't you. When the brain is working hard on a problem, it can be very good at drawing parallels in an apparently unconnected experience.
Number 10. Listen to the conversation. Who are the speakers?
I thought I'd written a really good assignment this time. I did so much reading for it. My tutor's feedback was not enough argument. I'm not sure what he means.
If it's any help, I try arguing with myself. I draw up a list of reasons supporting my conclusion and those that undermine it. Then I mull it all over to see whether they're convincing.
Section 2. Number 11. You will hear a recording about design education. Listen to the whole recording once. Then you will hear the recording again with pauses for you to write down what you hear. Make sure you spell the words correctly.
The seismic shift, many say, is coming from a product-oriented world economy to a service-led global one will require multidiscipline flexibility. Many argue that those with some form of design education have a significant edge as leaders of businesses. If collaboration and teamwork are the new core competencies of the workspace, design education fits that bill. The seismic shift, many say, is coming. from a product-oriented world economy. To a service-led global one. Will require multidisciplined flexibility. Many argue that those with some form of design education have a significant edge as leaders of businesses. If collaboration and teamwork are the new core competencies, of the workspace, design education fits that bill.
Section 3. Numbers 12 to 16. You will hear a broadcast about Charles Worth. First, read the notes below, then listen and complete the notes with information from the broadcast.
You will hear the recording twice.
Charles Worth, widely considered the father of haute couture, was an English-born fashion designer of the 19th century. He worked at several prosperous London drapery shops before moving to Paris in 1846, where he was hired by two well-known Parisian drapers. While working in their shop, he married one of the firm's models, who would model shawls and bonnets for prospective customers. Worth made his wife's dresses and customers started to ask for copies. Worth, by now a junior partner in the firm, urged his partners to expand into dressmaking, but they hesitated to risk their reputation in a business as low class as dressmaking. Worth found a wealthy backer and opened a dressmaking establishment in 1858. Worth was soon patronized by the French royalty, and after that by many titled, rich, and otherwise notable women who all became Worth devotees. Worth gave his customers luxurious materials and meticulous fit. Rather than let the customer dictate the design, as had previously been dressmaking practice, Four times a year, he displayed model dresses at fashion shows. His patronesses would pick a model, which would then be sewn in fabrics of their choice and tailored to their figure. He completely revolutionized the business of dressmaking, and he was the first of the couturiers, so dressmaking became considered an art rather than the work of mere artisans.
Now, listen again.
Charles Worth, widely considered the father of haute couture, was an English-born fashion designer of the 19th century. He worked at several prosperous London drapery shops before moving to Paris in 1846, where he was hired by two well-known Parisian drapers. While working in their shop, he married one of the firm's models, who would model shawls and bonnets for prospective customers. Worth made his wife's dresses, and customers started to ask for copies. Worth, by now a junior partner in the firm, urged his partners to expand into dressmaking, but they hesitated to risk their reputation in a business as low class as dressmaking. Worth found a wealthy backer and opened a dressmaking establishment in 1858. Worth was soon patronized by the French royalty, and after that by many titled, rich, and otherwise notable women who all became Worth devotees. Worth gave his customers luxurious materials and meticulous fit. Rather than let the customer dictate the design, as had previously been dressmaking practice, four times a year he displayed model dresses at fashion shows. His patronesses would pick a model, which would then be sewn in fabrics of their choice and tailored to their figure. He completely revolutionized the business of dressmaking, and he was the first of the couturiers, so dressmaking became considered an art rather than the work of mere artisans.
Numbers 17 to 21. You will hear an interview. First, read the notes below, then listen and complete the notes with information from the interview.
You will hear the recording twice.
Could you describe what you do and how you earn your living, Tom?
Well, I've been a trainer for over 35 years and I'm really hooked into developing leadership skills, especially in today's challenging times.
How did you become an expert on all this?
I've worked my way up right from the lowliest selling job. I've read hundreds of academic business books about the theory of how companies work and each year invest 10% of my income on personal development. As an executive, manager and business owner, I have managed employees in companies that range in sales from $10 million to over $1 billion a year.
What can you do for a manager who wants you to change things for them?
I say I can't do anything. If you want to motivate your staff, you have to look in the mirror. That's where the change has to come from inside. Having said that, I can give proven techniques.
What are some of your best tips for being a good leader?
Buy my book. No, really, there are too many to list here. Maybe top of the list would be drive decision-making further down the ladder. Let people at a lower level, those close to the issues and problems, make the decisions about what to do and how to solve them.
Now, listen again.
Could you describe what you do and how you earn your living, Tom?
Well, I've been a trainer for over 35 years, and I'm really hooked into developing leadership skills, especially in today's challenging times.
How did you become an expert on all this?
I've worked my way up right from the lowliest selling job. I've read hundreds of academic business books about the theory of how companies work, and each year invest 10% of my income on personal development. As an executive, manager, and business owner, I have managed employees in companies that range in sales from $10 million to over $1 billion a year.
What can you do for a manager who wants you to change things for them?
I say I can't do anything. If you want to motivate your staff, you have to look in the mirror. That's where the change has to come from, inside. Having said that, I can give proven techniques.
What are some of your best tips for being a good leader?
Buy my book. No, really, there are too many to list here. Maybe top of the list would be drive decision-making further down the ladder. Let people at a lower level, those close to the issues and problems, make the decisions about what to do and how to solve them.
That is the end of the listening section of the test. Now go on to the other sections of the test.